Welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni, the Indiana Baseball Edition. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and along with Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Carl James, we will be bringing you information on Indiana baseball. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. I am Carl James, filling in for Brian Tonsoni, who is in Florida this week attending an educational conference. This is a very special edition of the podcast prompted by the recent news in the IU baseball world. On Sunday night at 10:22 p.m. Eastern, Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com tweeted the first report that Indiana University head baseball coach Chris Lemonis would be taking the open position with Mississippi State in the Southeastern Conference. This particular job opening had been side drama of college baseball over the past month, and the result was a surprise to many of the pundits. The hiring has been met with solid but not universal praise in Starkville. On the Indiana end, the news took Hoosier Nation a bit by surprise and started a second national head coaching search for the program in the past 4 years. Today, our podcast panelists will discuss both the Lemonis tenure with Hoosiers and the search for his replacement. According to an IU press release, assistant coaches Kyle Bunn and Kyle Cheeseborough will remain in roles until the head coaching successor is named, with Bunn acting as head coach. This podcast will include a discussion of the current state of the Hoosier baseball program and a look at potential list of replacements. However, we will start by taking a look back at the past 4 years. We typically start our podcasts out with Hoosier highlights, and this one will not be different. Cassidy, what is your Hoosier highlight of Chris Lemonis' time as head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers?
For me, it wasn't one single moment necessarily that stood out, but the three at-large regionals in 4 seasons. If I remember correctly, those are the only three at-large regionals in IU history. So for him to not only continue what Tracy Smith started at IU, but to really continue to grow it and keep that momentum going, that was huge to me. There were all kinds of signature wins, some great moments, but the thing that really stood out to me were those three at-large regionals in just 4 seasons.
Actually, a very, very impressive run, and I would completely agree with you on that, Cassidy. Josh, what is your Hoosier highlight?
My favorite Coach Lemonis memory is from a midweek game against Evansville 2 years ago. It was 4-2 game in the fourth inning. No out, Logan Sowers at third. Tony Butler was at the plate. Infield was in, and a suicide squeeze. Sowers scores, and the pitcher throws the ball wide to first after double-taking to take a peek back at Sowers to see if he could get him, and he threw it away, and Butler made it all the way around to third. And then on the very next pitch, boom, another suicide squeeze. The second one didn't work out, as Colby couldn't quite get it down, but I absolutely love the guts it took, the awareness, trying to take advantage after a chaotic situation to catch him dazed or off guard. I don't think I've ever seen that in baseball before. But it just shows what kind of coach he is, the trust he puts into the players, and how willing he was to make an unconventional call.
Very good. Chris, I guess it's always interesting when a coach goes up against his old team. What do you have for us?
Oh, absolutely. My Hoosier highlight for Coach Limo has to be when we beat Louisville at the BART that night. It was just really, we're playing this team, this powerhouse of a team. I think they only had 2 losses the whole season. And, I mean, it was our last home game of the year. We took that early lead. And Limo, just every move he pulled was gold. You know, he had a couple of aces up his sleeve that night. I'm telling you, every pitcher he put in, every move he made, we held on. It was up 4-0. They got it to 4-3, and that was it. I just remember the look on his face coming out of that dugout. And I don't even know if it was so much of beating Louisville, but it was just the environment. It was a great college baseball game. I heard him mention that after the game that night. the place was packed. I mean, I don't think I've seen it more crowded if it wasn't for the regionals. It was just electric. And it was like a Tuesday night. It wasn't, you know, it was a midweek game. Weather was great. The place was packed. And it was just a head-to-head big-time matchup. And Limo came out on top. He managed his rear end off, let's say.
Very good. For my part, I like to think back to 2015. Before Tracy Smith had left, he had arranged a home-and-home series with Cal State Fullerton. And the first of those was the middle of March 2015 at the BART. Three-game series with Cal State Fullerton. And this team was highly touted, very well thought of. D1 Baseball had a guy at the Michael Bowman. He was there at the series the whole weekend. It was a very nice atmosphere. The first really big series under Coach Lemonis. And they started off with Fullerton's stud pitcher, who I think ended up going in the fourth round that year. And all eyes were on him. You know, Indiana didn't hit the lights out, but they just kept pressing and pressing, managed to get 10 hits against the guy and worked really hard. And the team got that win. And they pulled off another win. I think it was a doubleheader for the first on Saturday and pulled that off and then ended up absolutely taking it to them on Sunday. And it was just a very, very impressive series sweep. And, you know, kind of a statement for the Lemonis era coming right out of the bat. And in hindsight, was even bigger because Fullerton ended up going to Omaha that year. So that was one of the few blemishes on Fullerton's record, and it was quite an impressive run. All right, there's been a lot of lively discussion on social media about what this transition means for the Hoosier baseball program. I know our group has had some lively Twitter chats, especially on Sunday night. Josh, what are your thoughts about the state of the Hoosier baseball program?
Well, Carl, if you'd asked me that question late Sunday night, or if you could get a hold of my phone and look at the content from the conversations I was having, you'd know I thought the world was ending and we might as well start having North and South use the BART for their games. Now that I've had some time to process the emotions and step back and look at it at the big picture, hey, it's never going to be easy making a transition like this. I'm sure some pieces that we're expecting to be back next season won't be, but I'm pretty comfortable with where things are right now as a program. We've just sent two coaches to powerhouse baseball programs in the last 4 years. That's definitely something to be proud of and shows the whole country what can be done in this IU program. I'm sure all the aspiring head coaches from around the country will have to look at this job now as a great opportunity to move forward or win now. Are we ever going to get to the place where we don't have to be looking over our shoulder to see who's going to try to poach one of our coaches if we're doing well? As long as the season starts when it does and some of the other recruiting hurdles are in place, probably not. But I believe that we're currently in as good a spot as could be hoped for with all the disadvantages we face. We have Coach Smith, Coach Lemonis, and Fred Glass to thank for that. That said, I do think this next hire is huge. We're in a good spot, have good momentum going, but with it being Big Ten baseball, we're one bad hire or miss away from losing the momentum that's been built.
I think you make some very good points there. In addition, I would kind of add to that, or at least ask you, you know, think back 10 years ago, you know, would we have been in this type of a position? And would we prefer the situation that existed 10, 15 years ago or what we have now?
Oh, no, we're definitely in a much better place. I'll definitely take it. I've enjoyed this recent run, but we still have to stay on it.
Very good. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Well, for me, going to Sunday night, sure, it was shocking. sorry. And then for me, I right away thought about, you know, how, oh, we need to extend Lemonis. Fred Glass needs to step up and extend them to protect him from being signed from another, you know, school. There was no way to protect from this, though. When I saw that it was Mississippi State, nothing we could have done was going to stop this, man. These guys are wired to want to coach in the best places in the SEC. It's a business, you know what I mean? And we were reminded that coaching is a business. But our program proved right now that it's a good outlet for this business. You know, it put Skip in Arizona State. It put Limo in Mississippi State. We're talking about an opportunity for a coach to really make a name for themselves. And that's okay. You know, Josh nailed it. The Big Ten is not going to be a long-term home for someone. I really don't think it's possible. I know everybody wants us to be the next Louisville, but we're not in the ACC, folks. It's just how it is. But I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, we're going to have an opportunity to win every year. Obviously, if we recruit correctly and we have a good leader, we can be a good baseball club. Momentum's important, though. Josh nailed it again. We really need to keep this rolling. I know there was a lot of concern after Skip left, would Coach Lemonis keep it rolling? And he obviously did. He might have even done better with less talent, to be honest with you. You know, this team hasn't put any first to second round draft picks out there. And yet it made the tournament 3 out of 4 years. And the teams were very different. You know, Coach really did a lot with what he brought in. We're not going to have all the same players. And a lot of the signees, you know, there'll be some discussion if they're going to stay or they're going to sign. But I really think that the situation we're in now is a good one, you know, for what we are. I know the Big Ten is a Power Five conference, but with the weather and with the way this is set up, we could be in a lot worse spot than this. Let a coach come here, make a name for himself, keep this rolling. If he ends up going somewhere else at that point, you know, we bring in another name and we just keep the momentum going.
Yeah, I think you make some excellent points there, Chris. And I would add, because I have been hearing so much about the Louisville comparison, that if everyone takes a look at Louisville, it's such a unique situation. A program that came of age while they were doing while the school was doing all this conference hopping, you know, and that's not going to be Indiana. Indiana's been with the Big Ten since its existence and is right in the middle of the Big Ten, and that's not changing.
And they keep using the stepping stone as this evil word. I know in the Facebook group, a lot of people throw quotes around it. I don't think it's the worst thing if we're stepping, you know, a coach comes here, does well, makes a name for himself and moves on. I mean, it's not like we got poached from a low level team in the ACC or a low level team in the Pac-12. We got poached from Mississippi State. There's nothing we were going to do to protect from that. Yeah. And it's just a fact. These guys are wired like that. Coach Lemonis is wired like that. And what makes him good? You know, I saw the speech that he gave when he got to Starkville, and he was like, I roll out of bed, I think about Omaha. I want that guy to be coaching me. And if that means that he leaves in 4 years, okay, I'll take it.
Absolutely. Cassidy, what do you got for us?
Me, the thing that really has stood out is the continuous depth that IU has had. And that has really, really helped it to avoid the true rebuilding years that other Big Ten teams have been prone to. I mean, we saw Illinois have a couple of great power seasons, and then they kind of dropped off a good bit. We've seen that across the Big Ten. IU hasn't really had that big rebuilding year, and that's due at least in part to the fact that the teams have been so deep. There might not be those first or second round guys, but there are strong players all across the field, in the bullpen, on the mound. And that does help the program continue to grow and weather these transitions from coach to coach. When they're coming in and the cupboard is nowhere near bare, that can really help continue the momentum that Josh was talking about.
Yep. No, I'm right there with you. You know, I just recently listened to a discussion by a Mississippi State insider who believed that Lemonis was truly at or near the top of the list for the MSU job all along. For me, what that says is that that it affirms the job that Fred Glass did in the original hiring of Lemonis, and shows that Indiana is indeed a clear stepping stone to the best jobs in the country, and that's going to be a great selling point that Fred Glass is going to have as this search continues.
But see, that's what I mean. People are using the stepping stone term as a bad thing. I really don't think that. I've heard the term "we're the Butler of baseball." There's a lot of worse things you could be.
Very much so. Well, talking about the search, you know, there are different ways the program could go with its next hire. Let's go ahead and discuss the thought process for various candidates, and we've kind of got to broke them out into a couple different categories. I would stress to the listeners of Talking Hoosier Baseball that, you know, we're just speculating here. It's possible the future coach will not be included in our list. As Mississippi State fans will say, most of them were tweeting, "How do you pronounce Lamonis?" once the once it was released, because they didn't know who he was yet. So we may not know who our guy is yet, but there have been a lot of different reports out there that have thrown out a lot of different names, and we're going to be able to talk a little bit about a group of them. The first group we'll talk about, in 2005, Indiana topped a successful Midwestern mid-major program's head coach in Tracy Smith. This is a route the Hoosier program could go yet again. Chris, why don't you start off by telling us about Kent State's Jeff Duncan?
Okay. Jeff Duncan has been there since 2013. Before he was the coach there, he was a recruiting coordinator for the 2012 Purdue team that put up those 40 wins and won the Big Ten. He's made a couple of NCAA regionals. He won a game in the past one. He beat New Mexico. He's known for Midwest recruiting. He's been dominating the MAC. He won four straight MAC Easts and two regular season, you know, titles, his tournament titles. I've actually seen Jeff Duncan, but as a player, because he was a Met. 2003 and 2004, he was an outfielder for the Mets. He really seems to have a good reputation as far as motivation, as far as being a player guy, really being able to lead the young men, that type of thing. And he's definitely put up results. And his name has come up. You know, Kent State has really played well. I remember when they were playing in the regional, they were being called possibly, you know, an up-and-coming team that could upset some people. So Jeff Duncan's definitely a name that has come up, and I guess we'll see going forward if that's the way we go.
Duncan's not the only coach with a Big Ten history. Cassidy, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so I looked at Rich Maloney, who the Hoosiers have faced at least a little bit. He's the current coach of Ball State, but before that, he was actually Michigan's head coach for 10 years, from 2003 to 2012, and then he moved over to Ball State in 2013. He had actually been there once before at Ball, so he went from Ball State to Michigan back to Ball State, and he has some solid history at Michigan. They were three-peat Big Ten champs in 06, 07, and 08. He was the Big Ten Coach of the Year in 07 and 08. They made four consecutive NCAA tournaments from 2005 to 2008. He was the MAC Coach of the Year the first time around at Ball State in 98 and 2001. And he currently is actually the winningest coach in Ball State history. This season, 2018 season, was his 23rd year coaching. And I found out, doing a little bit of research, he is actually the current president of the American Baseball Coaches Association. That was something I found really interesting. So he's really involved on and off the field, which I think is really interesting.
Josh, what do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Jeff Mercer from Wright State. 2 years as head coach there. At one point in both of the seasons, they were ranked in the polls. 39 wins this last season, where they lost to Stanford in the regionals, but they took him into the 13th inning. He was the recruiting coordinator there at Wright State starting in 2014, so these were his guys. Mercer has a Hoosier flavor, as he grew up playing ball in the state. Some of you may be familiar with his father, also named Jeff. He's a member of the Indiana Baseball Hall of Fame. founded the Indiana Bulls and co-wrote the book You Can Teach Hitting with Dusty Baker in 1993. I know my dad used that in a lot of high school programs, and Babe Ruth teams used that around the country during that time. And for some reason, he owns property in Monroe County. Maybe that's due to the fact that he was a former hitting coach and recruiting coordinator at IU. So that was his dad. I mean, he definitely has the blood and the Indiana roots.
And he's not the only one with Indiana roots. Chris, you got some information on Ohio's Rob Smith?
Yeah, Rob is coming off an off season, 21-32. But before that, he had made the regionals 2 out of 3 years. We actually played against them in the second game of the Lexington Regional, and they gave Kentucky a good game the previous day in the day game, from what I remember.
Yeah, and that was against Jelly.
Right. They went with their number one guy against Ohio. So, you know, obviously the Kentucky team was worried about Ohio a little bit as well. Now, it looks like he's got some local ties as well, even going back to an assistant at Edgewood High School. And he knows the area, okay? He's from the area. And really, I feel like we would want to have somebody, you know, with local ties, but you don't know which way Fred's going to go. So these are just some options.
Yep. Well, you know, we'll kind of continue our narrative here. And after Smith left Indiana for Arizona State in 2014, Indiana was looked at as a much better job and warranted a more national search. This included assistant coaches from power conferences. Even at least one name from the SEC was mentioned as a real possibility. Fred Glass did kind of stay closer to home and hired Louisville assistant and recruiting coordinator Chris Lemonis. Glass has been quoted as saying that due to the sustained success, the Indiana job is even more attractive today than it was then. And many more top program assistants are in consideration for the Hoosier coaching job. Josh, start this group off by telling us more about Eric Snyder, who has already replaced Chris Lemonis once in his career.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. Yeah, he essentially took over for Coach Lemonis when he took our head coaching position. And Snyder seems to have done a pretty good job. Doesn't look like Louisville's even missed a beat. Before that, he was an associate coach of the Illini teams that were a national seed, primarily works with hitters right now and is known for being very aggressive on the bases. Not that some of us are looking forward to that after this last season, but he does have an outstanding reputation around college baseball. Also was number 5 on Baseball America's top assistant coaches list this season.
Very good. Well, our next two candidates are a little occupied at the moment. Cassidy, can you tell us a little bit about Wes Johnson?
Yeah, so Wes Johnson is currently the pitching coach for Arkansas, who, as you said, is kind of busy at the moment. He's in, I believe, his second season with Arkansas, second or third season, and he's in his 21st season coaching total. Before he came to Arkansas, he was previously the pitching coach at Mississippi State and Dallas Baptist before that. And he has sent a lot of pitchers to the pros. One of the things I found is he very consistently gets his pitchers to improve their velocity. That's something he's really, really known for. But I did note that he is an Arkansas native, and he's coaching at Arkansas, so that even a great offer that could be a little bit more difficult to lure him away from his home state to cold Indiana.
Well, we're going to go all the way across the diamond in Omaha. Chris, who do you have?
Okay, we have Nate Yeske, the pitching coach of Oregon State, and really, this one, I think Fred would really have to open up the purse to get him over. He's 10 years at Oregon State. He was UNLV before that. Last year, he was the Associate Head Coach of the Year. We all know what they did last year. I believe they had over 50 wins. They were the big favorite going into Omaha last year. They're in the National Championship Series right now, tied 1-1 in the fifth. Now, really, this is going to be more about, I think, the approach that Fred is going to have of what he's going to do as far as salary and as far as using funds, because when we're in this category, this is going to take, you know, a different price tag than in those mid majors. I mean, this is still a non-revenue sport. It's really going to be about how Fred approaches it, where he's going to use the funds. I know that it looked like Coach Lemonis got his salary doubled to go over to the SEC, more or less, with the incentives. And I really think it would take a price tag to get Wes Johnson, Snyder, or Yeske. But we're going to see. I mean, it's two different approaches, like you said, when you started off the pod on how we're going to address these coaches. It's real interesting. I really want to see how he approaches it and see how other coaches look at this program. We're going to get a real good look soon at how people are looking at this.
Very good. I think Josh has one more that's in this class and category.
And I want to echo what Chris just said. He had it point for point there at the end. This is in this little pod here. It's going to take the money to do it, and it will tell us a lot about how we're perceived around the nation. But I'll wrap up the big program assistance with J. Bob Thomas from Texas Tech. He's been in college baseball for 13 seasons. For the last six, he's been the recruiting coordinator assistant coach at Texas Tech. He's had four straight top 25 rated classes. Baseball America's assistant coach of the year last season. And with guys he's recruited, Tech has had three College World Series appearances. And before this last draft, he had 28 players drafted. Well, Tech had 14 guys taken this season in the draft. So in 6 years, that's 42 guys that he's recruited that have been drafted.
Those are some pretty mind-blowing numbers.
Yep.
All right. Well, finally, while hitters are often sitting fastball, sometimes a pitcher decides to break off a curveball. This can happen in coaching searches as well. Let's discuss some other possibilities, not exactly in the mold of the last two hires. And yes, the statement will be ironic, giving one of the names on this list. Josh, we'll start the wild cards off with the possibility of an intra-conference coup.
A guy that was kind of rumored to be close or at least interested in the job when it opened up after Coach Smith left, Dan Hartlib out of Illinois. He's been at Illinois since 2005. He was the National Coach of the Year in 2015 when they were a national seed with 50 wins. He has struggled the last few seasons, but again, he was kind of connected to it last time, and it's only been 4 years, so probably should put him on it.
The Twitter guy's going to be really mad then.
Yes.
You think he was mad before? Holy cow.
You have a point there. So Mississippi State had quite a run this year, and that had an interesting impact on things. Cassidy, what can you tell us about their former coach?
Yeah, so Gary Henderson picked up in kind of an odd situation. He became the interim head coach at Mississippi State after their previous coach stepped away for off-the-field issues. And after a really slow start where it didn't look like they were even going to make the SEC tourney, he really got this team to turn around, and they made it all the way to the College World Series this year. Before he took over as the head coach or the interim coach, he's kind of coached all over the place. The most recent, he was before he was an assistant at Mississippi State, he was the head coach at Kentucky from 2009 to 2016. He was actually the 2012 SEC Coach of the Year. And so he's familiar with Northern baseball to some extent, even though he has been at Mississippi State recently. And he was actually named the 2018 Perfect Game Rawlings Coach of the Year and the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association Coach of the Year. And if my math is right, 2018, this was his 30th year coaching. So he's a veteran coach. He knows what he's doing. And he did state publicly that he wanted the Mississippi State job after their College World Series run was over. So that could be an interesting touch for him to take over the program that Lemonis just left.
Some very interesting storylines. And there's a lot of people who think that as long as he wants to keep coaching, he's going to find a place somewhere in the country.
And he's got the resume to do that.
Exactly. I will go ahead and discuss the elephant in the room, which is, and this is where the irony comes in, that is Tracy Smith. Tracy Smith currently at Arizona State. There are some, you know, people in social media, both in Bloomington and in Phoenix, who have said that there would be a really good idea if Tracy Smith bailed early and came back home. He has been struggling with the program over the last couple of years, but there are a lot of signs that things are really starting to solidify at Arizona State, and that they have an opportunity to possibly have a good year. And you know, the question is, what's going to happen in that year? Me personally, I don't see him. I see him wanting to finish what he started there, and that's you know, that's I think is something that would be, you know, that he's a fighter and he wants to keep going with what he's trying to prove out west. Conversely, though, he and Fred Glass already have a very positive relationship, and I think you can't completely discount that possibility due to you know, personalities are important, and that can always sometimes trump a lot of other things that might be out there. You know, speaking of opportunities, you know, that have been or are at Indiana, you know, there are a couple of assistant coaches that are still with the program right now. Josh, what do you have to say about Kyle Bunn?
Yeah, Kyle Bunn's the interim manager right now, pitching coach. We can't count him out of getting this job. 4 seasons as an IU coach, 16 overall, 10 tourney appearances, with 5 of those making it to the Super Regionals. Stops at Ole Miss, Clemson, Alabama, East Tennessee State before making it to Bloomington. He's been pitching coach to 54 players who signed pro contracts, and 9 of those have actually made it to the show, Major League Baseball. In 2016, the Hoosier pitching staff ended up with the 11th best ERA in the country. And this past season, we finished with the 7th best, and we were sitting at number 1 for most of mid-April. Bunn played at the Citadel and was a 3-year letter winner with back-to-back tourney titles in 98 and 99. While winning the regular season title in 2000.
I'll discuss Kyle Cheesebro. Kyle Cheesebro is, you know, he's been a big partner with Chris Lemonis in the recruiting at Indiana, which we, you know, we keep talking about. And, you know, if there's anything that Chris Lemonis has been really talked up about in getting this job at Mississippi State, it's about the recruiting piece of it. And Kyle Cheesebro has had a huge piece of that, which means he has a wealth of positive relationships with the current players, as well as the incoming players and the recruits, you know, which is, you know, the first thing that a, you know, a new coach is going to have to do is deal with the players who have a decision to make as to whether they're going to hold, going to recommit to the program after a coaching change. Now, another piece of that could also be achieved by retaining someone like Kyle Cheesebro if a new coach were to come in, and retaining him in his current role. So there are options, but those are, you know, it's decisions that are going to be made by the administration, by Fred Glass, and then, once the new coach is in place, will be made by that new coach. And there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot we're going to have to see and take a look at over the future. I didn't actually have that in the script, but are there any final thoughts that any of the panel have before we wrap this up today?
Carl, I think you're right there. I mean, It will probably depend who stays, if any, from the former staff. Probably depends on if what route we go. If we bring in a top-tier program assistant. He's probably going to want to bring his guys in. If we bring in the mid-major coach, he probably will want to keep Bun and Cheeseboro on just for the for what you just said, familiarity and Bun's proven. So,
yep. Plus, you figure that the assistants at a mid-major are looking to get promoted. So, you know, if a head coach leaves the better gig for a Kent State assistant, you know, if the Kent State coach were to go, would be to become head coach at Kent State. So,
yep.
Okay.
And Carl, just as far as final thoughts, I really like what you had said about Cheeseboro, because you know I do a lot with the high school recruiting, and I'm actually in touch with a lot of the people who, you know these guys and family members of these guys, and Cheeseboro is really well liked. I really think that if he was to stay on staff, it would be a really good piece as far as, you know, the recruits coming in, and we got a really good class coming in. You know, we've been looking at these guys as far as these Indiana players, and I really hope that that's the target area we stay in.
Yep.
But if Cheeseboro would stay on as recruiting coordinator, you know, that would be excellent too. Obviously, this is all up to Fred. Of course, Sunday night, there was shock. I was shocked, you know. I really thought we dodged the peripheral bullet when McDonald was decided to stay, because I just didn't realize that Coach was that high up on these lists for such a high-level program. But obviously, he was. And I really – the shock is a little bit gone now. You know, you realize it is what it is. And I feel like there's an opportunity for a new person to come in, whatever role they're going to play, whether it's to stay long-term or not, and the team's going to be all right. I still do I wish Lamarcus was still here? Of course. But it is what it is. And this program did just go through this 4 years ago. I mean, I had just got to town. I was only here a year when Skip went to Arizona State. But I think if any program knows that you can bounce back from something like this, it would be this one. We just did it. Mm-hmm. So I really look forward to see who Fred decides on. And just to be clear, I mean, I can't state it enough. It wasn't about not renewing his contract. It was not about extending him during the season. It would not have mattered. Coach Lamonis would be in Starkville. So yep. I just want to say that, you know, Fred was put in a position now to make another choice, and hopefully he hits a home run.
Very good. Cassidy, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thought is it'll be interesting to see how quickly this moves, because – going from Skip to Lamonis, it was, what did we say? It was 6 days.
Yep.
And so seeing whether it'll be another similar, like by this weekend, will we possibly have a new coach, or will it be a little longer, especially if they are looking at some of those assistants from currently active teams, yeah. That might take them a little while to get in touch with them. So seeing how this unfolds, how long it takes, that'll be an interesting thing to me.
I absolutely agree. But, you know, I think, you know, we're all going to keep our eyes on the news and take it'll be very interesting to see how this search progresses. Well, that will do it for this special edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball Podcast. Please find future podcasts on Sports Talk with Tonsoni, which can be found on your favorite podcast source, as well as under the Talking Hoosier Baseball tab on iubase.com. Please follow iubase.com on Twitter at iubase17, Talking Hoosier Baseball at CUatTheBart, and visit iubase.com to see other articles and other posts from our team. For the gang and host Brian Tonsoni, I am Carl James. Go Hoosiers. See you at the bar.